thinking back over, you know, all these players you've played with at Gloucester, let's run through your dream team for Gloucester. Who would you put in your dream team?
Blimey.
Let's start at fullback.
I think at fullback it'd probably been Chris Tatlin. You know, phenomenal under the high ball. He was almost like, I almost think Ollie Morgan's like the modern day Chris Tatlin. If we're talking about people that I played with, I'm just talking about now. On the wings, Philip Santandre would have to be one. You know, I was captain when Philip first joined the club, and how do you captain a French legend like that? You know, and he just, as a winger, he had this ability to score tries, but not as a conventional winger. You know, conventional wingers stay out on the wing and they score a try when the ball comes to them. I think Philippe was one of the first wingers that I'd ever experienced that would go looking for the ball. He'd come off the wing, you know, all of a sudden there'd be a ruck and he'd be the guy picking it up at the back of the ruck, driving it over and scoring the try. You know, so it wasn't just all fancy wing play. His work ethics were phenomenal on the wing, and you know, just a superb guy to play with on the pitch. With regards to the other wing, I might have to give that some thought process really, but the other winger, there's a lot of guys out there, and obviously being a forward you don't pay that much attention to the back line. I think centres, I was very fortunate enough to train and play some United games with Richard Mock, who I think was a hugely, hugely talented and probably underrated from a country perspective player. But then if I look at sort of like the modern era and professional, I'd probably have to say it was Tomsey and Van Loo. But when those two guys first come over, they formed such a formidable centre partnership. That it was an honour to play with them, and to the degree every time we were out on the pitch we understood one another, we understood exactly what we were going to do, and you know, it just worked really well. Fly half, obviously Mike Hamblin, you know, was a fantastic fly half, fantastic leader of the game. I also enjoyed playing with Mark Mapletoft. You know, I probably had the most arguments on a rugby pitch with Mark Mapletoft. But at the same time, you know, he was able to read the game very well. He's doing very well now in coaching. But on a rugby pitch, as a captain, sometimes he didn't quite understand authority. But I think that, you know, that was only because he was strong-minded and he thought he knew better in certain situations. And it was all healthy. It was a healthy argument. Scrum halves, again, we talk about Marcus. Laurie Beck was always very good to play with. I think Scott Benton was probably one of my favourite scrum halves to play with, because again, he was like similar to Marcus, and he was another back row forward playing with you, and sort of like the modern day version of Marcus, really, when the game turned professional. He was very excited to play with.
Bruce Fenn?
Bruce Fenley had some fantastic games with Bruce. He was such a dogged scrum half who, you know, again would put his body on the line. Not quite as physical, that's wrong, because he was, for his size, he was more physical than most scrum halves around, you know. But you see, it's guys like Bruce who I saw that you kind of, there's so many players that over sort of like 9-10 years at Gloucester that you've played with. That it's not until you start looking at team sheets and things like that, you say, oh gosh, yeah, I played quite a few years with those guys. Pack wise,
Who would you have alongside you in the back row?
I think Mike Teague would be an obvious choice at number 8. Simon Devereux would be another player, you know, that I played so many games with. Is Simon at number 8, himself at number 6. He's a great mate now, and we talk about the olden days, and he was a converted second row, so it's not very often you go from second row to back row. It's more often not you go from back row to second row, and that was a testament to the type of professional he was, really. He was probably ahead of his time with regards to fitness and with regards to training commitment, and he certainly helped me a hell of a lot through the tough training sessions, because he was always that much fitter than me, and he just used to drag me along. Openside, one of the best guys that I enjoyed playing with was Nathan Carter. Very underrated player, nicknamed Dog, because, you know, he would never let things go. And in fact, it was Nathan that I think eventually took over for me in Smith for quite a long time. When Ian was coming to the end of his career, there was this competition between Ian and Nathan. And it was when Richard Hill was coaching, and Richard, to start off with, was all about stats. It was all about numbers of tackles made, yards made. And you look at Nathan Carter's stats, and they were phenomenal. You know, you'd have myself would be sort of like trying to make 10 or 11 tackles, similar for number 8, which was kind of about right. And then you'd have Nathan Carter making 16, 17 tackles and still getting up and running across the pitch to make another tackle. So just from his pure work rate, he was an outstanding player to play with. Second most, without hesitation, I'll say Ian Jones was one of the best second most ever played with in my life. I can remember when he first joined the club. If you didn't know who he was and where he'd come from, you know, this guy had come along, he was 6'4", 6'5", like a beanpole, that if you didn't know who he was, you'd probably say, you need to put a bit of weight on, do some more, you know, do some more weight training, push some weights, and then come back and we might have a look at you. Because he was just so unassuming with regards to his stature. And then you got him on a rugby park, and just a phenomenal player to play with. It really was. And again, I suppose the common thing with a lot of the great is their communication skill. The way that they're able to communicate with the rest of their team. Obviously, they've all got massive natural ability, but it's the way that they communicate with their team members to get the best out of the rest of the team. And, you know, Ian Jones is one of these players that just had the ability to be in the right place at the right time, or manoeuvre himself in the right place at the right time. Like a moment being in, I can't even remember who was against in this mall. And it was like a snake coming round, and worm was turning in and turning out. And once he'd latched onto that ball, he just kind of locked up, and that was it. But how the hell he got into that position to get onto the opposition's board to seal it off, I could never fathom out. And you know, that was his class that he was, really.
Yeah. I think if I was pushed, I'd say he's the best player I've ever seen playing for Gloucester.
Yeah, he just. Outstanding.
He just seemed to have so many skills at everything.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Dave Sims would have been another contender for second row. You know, great athlete, very physical player, very direct player, and a pleasure to play with, really.
Yeah. What was he like as captain? You had a couple of seasons playing under him as captain.
Yeah, he was great. He really was. Again, he would wear his heart on his sleeve, and he was the type of player that you knew that he put his body on the line as a player and as a captain. That's somebody you can follow. You know, you can always play behind players that are prepared to go that extra yard, and you always want to support players like that. So if Dave was captain and, you know, he said something, you knew that he would do that before you would do it, so you had no problem following him. You know, that there are some captains you can play with that would tell you to do one thing and they would go and do the opposite thing. You know, a lot more difficult to get respect for guys like that. But Simo, you know, Simo would lead from the front all the time. He had a few strange ideas. I think we were playing up in Newcastle and we all got round in a huddle. And it was in the stoppage of play. He's in the middle of it all, and he's, you know, giving his bollock in. And all of a sudden, he said, "Right, grab each other's ass." And you can imagine, it's like, what? We're in the middle of a game here, and we're all in the huddle. He said, "Grab one," and he was just like, "Just do it." And that's over there. He said, "You're going to cover each other's ass for the rest of this game now." You know, and he meant it, you know, as a, you're going to look out for one another, you're going to protect one another. But when he first came out with grab each other's ass, nobody quite knew how to take it. And then front row, I think you'd have to go really, because I was at the club when they were first coming up, so it would probably be Trevor Woodman and Phil Vickery. But if you had the flip side of that, Tony Window and Andrew Deaker, equally as fantastic to play with. But just from, I suppose, my perspective, they were the young guns coming up through, and it was a pleasure to play with them and see them develop it into, you know, the world known players that they have been, and you know, the success that they've had on the international level. You know, the amount of rivalry we used to have in training was phenomenal, and you know, I could manage it to start off with. Then all of a sudden, they matured in the gym from their strength wise, and you'd get on the park and they'd just be throwing you about like a rag doll. Hooker wise, again, John Hawker, always a great player to play with. Phil Greening, you know, I can remember playing with Phil when he was young, and out here, again, probably a little bit of ahead of his time with regards to how loose he would play, and almost that hooker stroke back row type of player. Neil McCarthy, you know, one from left field, Bath player that come down here, which again, you know, made a massive impact, a real true professional, dedicated and hard at all times.
Yeah.